Just take it down a bit. Just take it down a bit. Waliwa bali wano. Nga tomanyi ngeri je wavayo je wali.
There are people who are in this place who do not remember how they came out of a certain situation.
Atenga chiringe changu okulowoza.
It may seem easy to think
that
it was your wisdom. Somebody is here today. You have a degree. It has worked for you. There is a place that you couldn't go through if it wasn't for that degree. So it is easy for you to think that it was about your degree. There's somebody who thinks because you got married to a rich guy is the one who saved you. Another person thinks because you know how to speak English better than anybody else in your village. So you look at your name and what you have become.
And how people come to you running.
Nengeri abantu jibaja jolinga baduka.
Nolowoza anti gwabye kolede.
And you think you've done it yourself.
Oh, let me tell you something, my friend.
Kambeko chenkubulira mukwano gwange.
There's a God.
Waliwo Katonda.
Above you.
Ali waguru wa buli kintu.
There's a reason.
Waliwo ensonga.
He has changed your life.
Lwaki akyusizza obulamu bwo?
He loves you.
Akwagala.
And you belong to him.
Eroli uwe.
He has paid a great price.
Asasudo mutango munene.
For your life.
Lobula mobo.
Now with that understanding.
Katinga o inokutegera okwo.
I want you to sing that chorus again.
Njagala oyimbe ekitundu ekyo nate.
Mugambe nti oli uwe.
Tell him I'm yours.
Ate omugambe nti na ye uwo.
And tell him again you're mine.
Let's go.
Zay, na ye wange. Zay, na ye wange
mugambe niwe
ndiwe nze ndiwe nze ndiwe nze na ye wange
mugambe oliwe
ndiwe nze ndiwe nze ndiwe nze na ye wange.
Can you give a mighty hand clap to the Lord?
Kubira mukama mungaleza amanyi.
If it wasn't for him,
singata badde ye,
you would be dead.
Wandi badde wafadda.
If it wasn't for his grace,
singate chali kisache,
no one would know you.
Wandi badde tewali akumanyi.
If it wasn't for his grace,
singate chali kisache,
you would be a nobody.
Wandi badde toli muka
abantu. If you can get to your feet,
bwoboso okuyimirira ku bigere ebyo,
and give the God of heavens,
oyimusse emikono gye eri Katonda w'eggulu,
ebintu bijjamu amalala. Nkimanyi osobola okutuula.
Stand up on your feet, raise up your hands and give him praise. Give him praise. Tell him thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's somebody who says, I'm yours, Lord.
Just open your mouth and say, Jesus, I am yours. And tell him nothing can take me away from you. Do you mean that? Do you mean it? Whether it's a mountain,
whether it's
fire, nothing
tewali ekiyinza okukujja waali. Mugambe Yesu, ndi wuwo era tewali kintu kyonna, era ntegeeza tewali kintu kyonna ekiyinza okunzigya w'oli kuba naawe oli wange. Mukubire engalo muwe amatendo. Amiina. Weebale. Weebale. Weebale.
Thank you, Jesus.
Weebale Yesu.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, worship team.
Tweyanze nnyo basinza.
God bless you.
Mukama babo mukisa.
We give God the glory for the anointing on your lives.
Tuwa Katonda ekitiibwa olw'amafuta agali ku bulamu bwammwe.
And we are blessed to be here with you.
Era tuweereddwa omukisa okuba nammwe.
Church,
kanisa.
Please show them. Show them. Omanyi biringa ebyangu naye bwe bakuyita waggulu awo waliwo omuntu nga ne bakuwadde microphone ne bagamba bako gw'ogitwalira waggulu awo omugambirawo tulabagane next year. So si byangu gw'obalaba bambuka amadaala bakkirira olowooza byangu. The Bible says give honor to whom it's due. So we honor the worship team and the ministry of worship and praise that they bring to us. Good morning, church. Thank you for fellowshipping with us today. We also honor your presence here. Can you clap for yourselves? And can we clap to the Holy Spirit? Manyi waliwo abantu abagamba baagala nnyo Omwoyo Mutukuvu.
There are people who say they love the Holy Spirit so much.
Noba opportunity bamulage.
And you tell them, show the Holy Spirit that you love him.
Mulage nti omwagala.
You show them. Show
the Holy Spirit. Noba gama mukubire mu ngalo.
Then you tell them, clap for the Holy Spirit.
Neba kulawe bati. Neba kuba akalulu ka. Church, can you clap for the Holy Spirit? It is the Holy Spirit you're clapping for. It is the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. That is more like it. Mubadenga abatandika.
Start from there.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you for being here. This is called the Faith Park. And this place you're seated inside here, this church, this body is called City Church Kampala. Yes, even us that are seated. Yes.
We are. City Church Kampala.
Yes. But the place, this beauty that you see, you know, we give oxygen to our neighbors. This is the source.
One of Faith Park.
You know how you are approaching the beach, and the air changes. It is so fresh.
Eh?
This place also has fresh air. Yes, and we want to thank you for being a part of this great work. Thank you. Thank you. More than words can say. Thank you very much for being a part of the great work that is happening here. Thank you for your giving, both financial and in other ways. Thank you for giving yourself to the ministry of God. The Bible says that God is not unfaithful or he's not wicked to forget the labor of his servants. Everything that you do in the kingdom, God takes note. There are people who don't stand here like us, but they do serious things in the kingdom. Come on, can we give a mighty hand clap to those people? Yes. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for being here. And I also want to honor
the leadership of this place, Pastor Wilberforce in absentia, and Pastor Carol here. We thank you. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for leading us. You've led us well. May the Lord bless you and overflow you. My name is David. If anyone here doesn't know me, and it's an honor to minister to you today in the ministry of the word. It's such a privilege. It's an honor. I can't explain it enough. Every time I have an opportunity to hold this microphone, it brings great, great honor and a privilege. Of course, and to serve you with the man of God, Amos.
Amanya gangize Amos.
Sebo kalika gateko, umusaja wa Katonda.
Baulit.
Okay, rekered, kare. Umusaja wa gonje wanyo. Amina.
Amen.
Father, we want to thank you today.
Chitafe tuwa lukwe bazolu wa liru.
For every word
that
you are about to release into our spirits.
We
open our hearts knowing very well
that
it is not in our strength, it is not in our power to receive if it's not by your grace. So we thank you for your grace. Thank you for dying on that cross for our sins. But also we thank you for every word that you're releasing into our spirits today. That it will not only nourish us in spirit, but it will unlock our destinies to the glory of the Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Gamba amina.
Say amen.
Yes, we are in a season of talking about the process. And many of you will agree with me that this is not a topic many people want to hear. Do you agree? In the church of today, many people have gotten used to many doctrines that excite their senses and make them so get them on a high that they forget some fundamental things. It's not wrong to want a message to excite you. Yeah, sometimes you feel down. And it's the word of God that can get you from that place. David said that you got me from the miry clay and you set my feet upon a rock. And he says, and now I stand. It is the will of God for you to stand. It is the will of God for you to finish everything you have begun. It is godly. There's also another group of people who believe in a certain other message that dictates that not everything you want will come to you. So there are people who have been made to believe that yes, you're praying, but God can say no. Have you heard of those things? Have you heard of those things? Anyway. So, where's the problem with that? The problem is here. That thing contradicts with the Bible.
Come again.
That thing, that doctrine,
contradicts the Bible.
Because the Bible says that the promises of God in Him are yes. And what?
Amina.
Yes. So unless you're praying outside the promises, you know, there will be a believer who will say, who will use the gospel like the man of God gave us on Sunday. Hold on to God and say,
Ogambe.
Sikuta.
I'm not letting you go.
Mukama, sikuta.
I'm not letting you go.
Tuliabo.
Tulibabi.
Pakanga nchifunye.
Until I get
it.
But the thing is,
anonya bawa amune.
Looking for somebody's husband.
The man is married.
Omusajja mufumbo.
Na yonywezeza Katonda.
But you're holding on to
Tomuta.
God. You're not letting him go until you get that man. Something is wrong with your head.
So, abantu webatyo.
Now, such people. Those are the people who abuse the gospel. And they can tell you God is not working.
Takola. You teaching
us a lot. We understand.
But
we listen. But those things aren't working.
Nze golaba.
Me, myself. I prayed.
Nze nsabye.
I believed.
Naga nze nali munene nze golaba.
I used to be to have some weight.
Nina sabo kumale emyakeji.
But I prayed for 3 years.
Ninsiba emyakeji.
I fasted for 3 years.
Tebyakola.
Things never worked.
Let me guide you, my friend.
Kankuyambe omukwano.
The promises of God.
Ebisubizo bya Katonda.
In Him.
Muye.
A yes.
Biriwe wao.
And amen. But the key word is what? Promises. If you pray outside the promises, God never promised you to get another person's husband and give him to you. Or get another person's wife and bring her to you. Because you have a lot of faith that can move a mountain. Including the mountain of someone's marriage. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I'm just using examples. Praise the Lord God. So it's important to understand the things that are to establish us in the promises of God. Because in Him, those promises are yes and amen. And one of the things is what we are dealing with in this season. That's called the process. The process will establish you in the promises of God. If God has promised it, He is faithful. He will do it. He will do it. But you should also remember that He says, in my time, sorry. Praise the Lord.
Mukama yebazi.
Nabi mugumu mumuleke. Ajakuwa bulungi. It's important to know.
Chikulu nyoku tegera.
That if God has promised it,
Katonda bwabanga asubiza,
it will come to pass.
Chijja kutuukirira.
But you should also remember
na iwe n'okujjukira
that He says He will do it
ajja kuchikola
in His time.
Mu kiseera kye.
For everything the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 3:1.
Aba omubuulizi 3:1.
That to everything, there is a season and there's a time. To everything. That's the message. Please give me KJV. The Bible says, there's an opportune time to do things, the right time for everything on the earth. That's the message. But the word I want you to note there is everything. Amplified. Okay. To everything there is a season. And a time for every matter.
All
purpose under the heaven. For everything you desire in your heart. There is a time. And there is a season. If you go on in that scripture, you will see the different things that the Bible lays out for you. That just like there's a time to plant, There's a time to harvest. It's important for a believer to know the time. Because then, you will not be found planting in a season of harvesting. Just like you will not be found harvesting in a season of planting. It is, the Bible calls it somewhere that it's an evil under the earth. Bible
to switch
those times. So he says there's a time to be born. But there's a time to die. But between being born and dying, there is something called the process. You must go through the process to fulfill everything God has ordained for your life. As long as you are on this earth. And today, I want to interest you in a conversation that is very close, that is under the series of process. And this is something I'm going to call life intents. This is something you've probably read in the Bible. Or you've heard about it. But maybe you have never taken your time to understand it. What did the Bible mean by tents? There's something very deep in the Bible. Every time you see the word tents. And that is by the grace of God what I want to try and help you understand. Today. God is a God of tents.
Katonda wa wema.
At least begin by understanding that.
Tandika okutegeera ekyo okusookera ddala.
God is a God of tents.
Katonda wa wema.
And what's a tent?
Wema chichi.
According to the scriptures.
Okusinziira ku byawandiikibwa.
What does it mean when they say a tent?
Kitegeeza ki bagamba nti wema?
A tent.
Wema.
Is something symbolic.
Kintu ekyakabonero.
That shows.
Akalaga.
That temporary situations.
Akalaga embere yakaseera.
When viewed from the eyes of faith. Remember we talked about how faith has eyes. And why God tells you to live by faith. Because faith is alive. And he is a person. With eyes and ears and nose, and he can lead you to the life of God. So it's also borrowing those eyes, the eyes of faith, that we shall understand what a tent means according to the Bible. The Bible talks about the life of tents, and what it is trying to say there is that there is a situation that a man or woman of faith can get in, but because they see and understand the things of God, they know that it is just a tent. Praise the Lord Jesus. Are we together there? So it's from there that I want to explain to you that God is a God of tents. And I want to go very slowly. I don't want to rush into this. I don't care where I will end. As long as you have something that works for you, you must receive something today. Something must change your life today. And if you understand this thing, it's going to alter your vision and how you see life. Because it's one of the biggest issues this world has. We are in a world where everything has gone upside down.
And I don't really want to talk about the life of the world. I don't want to bore you. Because some of you have been there. And you have seen it. I want to come to the church. I want to talk to a believer who is in the church. You love God. You will do anything for your master. But at the same time, you are carnal. You live a life of the flesh. You are the one I came to help. So the world we are in doesn't understand these principles. So you'll find a person who says that I will do anything, whatever it takes, to get that money. What do you mean when you say you will do anything? I will do anything to get that land. Bazanya.
They are joking.
Neenga yogere bigambo ebyo.
But the person who is using those words,
Mukiriza,
is a believer.
Ate yajuzibwa no moyo mtukufu.
And filled with the Holy Ghost.
Oh, there are some people here.
Waluwa abantu abamuwa.
And I don't mean to judge anyone.
Era sitegeza kubanga nsalira omuntu yenno
musa. And this is not a sermon of tell them.
Kati ate buno bubaka sibwa kulangira bantu.
No, every word must come to you.
Buli kigambo kiteekwa okujja gy'oli.
Because it's a double-edged sword.
Kubanga ekigambo kitala kya bwogi
bubiri. It's also cutting here first.
Nange kinfumita era kinsala.
I want you to understand that.
Njagala otegeere ekyo.
There is a person.
Waliwo omuntu.
Who one day you woke up.
Olunaku lumu nga azuukuka.
And you were tired of the life you are living.
Noko obulambu wali otambuliramu.
And you said,
no gamba.
I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Ngenda kola chonecho tagisa.
To get a job.
Okufuna omulimu.
And just like you made that statement,
eranga bwa kola bwa yogere chigambe.
You know the devil hears.
Omusitani awulira.
And he comes and says, are you sure?
Na gamba ukakasa.
Because if you get up in Jagalira,
the things you're saying are the ones I enjoy listening
and
to.
For him, it's very simple. He just creates an opportunity.
And you're there.
The
boss calls you. Did you want this job?
Were you serious?
Were you serious?
Are you serious?
Are you still serious? Call me at 9 p.m. And you find me in a place, I'll tell you.
So, you go and sleep with the boss.
No gain, no sink, and a boss.
Just because you want a job.
Kubanga walio yagala omulimo.
And you'll do anything.
Eroja kola buli chonna
chetansi. See, there's something you don't understand.
Waliwe chinchota nakutegeera.
The life we are living is a life of tents. It's a life of tents. It's a temporary life. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I think 4. Last verse is there, I think 18, somewhere there you will find them. And he says, for our light afflictions, they are for a moment. They are for a moment. Why we look not at the things which are seen? Can you go to 17, please? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, the Bible says, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And verse 18 says that knowing this now, next verse, he says we don't look at the things which are seen. We don't look at the things which are seen. We don't look at the things which are seen. See, he's acknowledging that you have eyes. But make a choice to see other things. Don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And the Bible says, for the things which are seen, they are temporal. But the things which are not seen are what?
Eternal.
That is a very deep scripture. God inviting you to a place of eternity. And he's getting you out of the space of things that are seen. All your years in school, you are being taught to chase after things that are seen. All your years on earth, most of the classes you've sat in, you've been taught how to chase things that are seen. And God here is trying to deliver you. To tell you that yes, get a job. Yes, be married. But remember, at the back of your mind, that live a life that is eternal. Because if you only give yourself to the life that is seen, you have an end. You are temporal. You will pass. There's a scripture in Matthew, Jesus says that heaven and earth will pass. They will fade away. Now, have you ever thought about it? For a moment. That one day, the money that is getting people killed, one day shall be no more. The houses that you are fighting for, one day they will be no more. The wives you are hating yourselves about or for, they will be no more. One day everything like you see it will not make sense. But Jesus says that, but my words will still remain. Not one title shall in no wise pass from the law till it's all fulfilled. What he means there is until the word is fulfilled, it will remain. So it's the same way I want to come from that angle. To open your eyes. To understand. Why do we do the things we do? When we talk about being excellent at work, what do we do that? Why do we want you to become the most excelling business person in Uganda? It is not because that business is the end. No, we want you to connect to something eternal about that
business.
That when you do that
business,
it does not separate you from the life of God. That is it. So, for you to get to that place, you must understand the principle of tents. John chapter 1 verse 14. The Bible says, Jesus gives us something very interesting there. The Bible says that the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. When you read the verses above in John 1, when you read the verses above, John was trying to write to you and explain the beginning of the world from the perspective of eternity. And he says in verse 14 that the Word was made flesh and it dwelt among us. The Bible says, and we beheld his glory, the Word, The word that became flesh is the one whose glory will be held. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word I want you to look at is the word dwelt. It comes from the Greek word skenoho. That word means pitching a tent. So, Jesus' appearance on the earth was him pitching a tent. And what does that show you? It shows you that your life is a tent. Your life in this body is a tent. And like any tent, some of you that were here before, you know that there used to be a tent here. It was there for years. But today if they told you, go and show us exactly where it was, you don't know. Because it passed away. That season ended. Some of you have even forgotten the color. If they asked you now, what color was it? Yes, you will say blue. But if they brought the shades of blue here, you might choose a wrong blue. Because you don't remember. That season ended. Just like that tent faded away. It's the same way everything you are living for, one day will be passed into another season. You must take that into account and remember it. So Jesus here is telling us something interesting. He says, I was alive on the earth. I performed many miracles. I did many things, but I just dwelt among you. When the time to transition to the next phase came, I was into the next place. Why is this important for a believer? You will understand how to position yourself in the right time and in the right season. You will connect to the principles that will take you through the process that you must go through and finish it for you not to waste time. In the Bible, there's something called redeeming time. He says, redeem thee the time. Because the days are evil. You must redeem time. If you're doing a business, you must redeem time. If you're at school, you must redeem time. If you are in a marriage, you must redeem time. Whatever you put your hands to, you must redeem time. But you're not going to redeem time if you have not understood the process. Because redeeming time is not magic.
Si magic.
Si bufusa. It's not magic. It is not magic.
Si bufusa.
It's not witchcraft either.
Si dogo.
You're going to walk into a guy's little small house, and because he has shaken a few things, then he says, you will have kids. He even calls you his daughter. Go, my daughter. It is well. And you find the guy calling you his daughter doesn't even have children. But he's giving you kids
several.
No, that's not the way of life. There's a process for everything.
So,
the Bible says here, the Amplified says that he tabernacled. Yes, I love it. Thank you, Rita. He tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh. Did you know, child of God, that your body, the body you are in today, the flesh, is a tent? You are in a tent. Get that in your head. You are in a tent. Tell your neighbor.
Gamba mulirano wao.
Tent yenyirira.
Wema yefanana eti.
Ya kalachi.
Efanana eti.
Ah. Ya chocolate. Omwana oyo ye yagala. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Mukama yebaziwe.
Praise the Lord.
Mukama yebaziwe.
Jesus says that body was a tent.
Yesu agamba nti omubiri ogwo yali weema.
If you go to Hebrews 8,
bw'ogenda mu Ebulaniya 8,
verse 2,
onyolwokubiri,
it shows you something I was saying earlier.
Ekulaga kyenadde njogerako okusooka.
That God is a God of tents.
Nti Katonda, Katonda wa weema.
Just like there is a tent of the flesh, there is also a tent of the spirit. Things have now started getting interesting. The Bible says, Bible
yegamba,
as officiating priest,
nga,
where are you, verse 1? Go back to 1. Okay. Now of the things which have spoken, we have spoken, sorry. This is the psalm. Here he was saying that everything we have told you, this is the what we are trying to show you, that we have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Next verse. And he says, a minister of the tent sanctuary. That's the same word there, tent. The same word to mean tent is the same word they used for sanctuary. And of the true tabernacle. Same word again. Which the Lord pitched and not man. Now God shows us something interesting. He says that the Lord pitched a tent when Jesus Christ died for our sins. The life of the Spirit is a life of a tent. The difference is that tent is pitched by the Lord Himself. And the Bible calls it the true tabernacle. It is the true one. There are tabernacles that are not true. So all throughout Scripture, you will find tents. God speaks about tents everywhere in Scripture. You will find them. Tabernacles. You probably thought it was just a physical thing. No, it had something spiritual attached to it. If we go to Revelations, Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. Revelation 21:3. The Bible says, can we come from verse 2? Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, and I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for husband. And he says, and I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold the tabernacle, the tent of God is with men. The tent of God is with men. The tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. And God himself, the Bible says, shall be with them. And he will be their God. Let me also give you another truth that is hidden there. The life of salvation like you see it today is a tent. The fact that you have understood that God lives in you, it's not going to be like that forever. There's a time where you will be taken to where he is and you will behold him there as God. He is in you today for a season. There's a purpose. There's a reason God dwells with men now. The Bible says that behold the tabernacle of God is with men. He's not with angels. And some of you have entered those doctrines. You spend an hour asking God to show you angels. For what? When you see the angel, then what? You worship him. God is with men.
Katonda ali n'abantu.
God is with men.
Ali mugwe ali
nawe. That is the dispensation that we are in.
Yeno ebiro bye tulimu.
That if you went to heaven,
ntisinga ogenze mu gulu,
you will still hear the same thing. You will understand why angels are with you today. Because their duty is to protect God. Not to protect, but to serve Him. To be with Him. And where God is, because He is in you, angels walk with you. That is why you are protected. That is why your angels cannot let anything happen to you just like that. You must believe it. You must believe it. As I'm speaking here, I know. I don't even need to see them. I know that the angels are with me. Because as I release these words of truth, what I am giving you today is eternal. And it needs great service from the angels. Anyway, what I was trying to show you there is that God is a God of tents. He honors tents. He honors the life of tents. So every time in the Bible, that God released His word to His people, He required them to pitch a tent. Now, let me take you to Genesis. Not generation. Genesis. Who is part of a generation? Who is not part of a generation?
Generation.
Okay. Genesis chapter 12. We can begin from verse 5. Because of time. God has called Abraham. He has called him out of his father's land. Out of his father's house. And he's taking him to a land he doesn't know. He has promised him everything he has promised him. He has promised him success. He has promised him power. He has promised him wealth. And when you come from verse 1, that's where you see the call of God. Yes, the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of your country. And from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and to a land that I will show you. Now let's jump to verse 5. Where he says, Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and everything they had. Let's go to the next verse. Because of time, I'm trying to rush through this. And Abraham passed through the land. That's telling you the process that he went through. Abraham went through the land. We call this man the grandfather of faith. By faith, he understood the call of God and he moved. Next verse. The Bible says, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto thy seed, he said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared to him. Jump to verse 9. Verse, this is the one. And the Bible says, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and did what? And pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, high on the east, and another principle comes, he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. There's another mystery hidden there, that when the word of the Lord comes to Abraham, Abraham does two things. He pitches a tent and he builds an altar. I'm not talking about an altar today. That's a whole other topic. It's talking about prayer. It's talking about intimacy with God. But I want us to focus on the tent. Abraham pitched his tent. So you will ask me, what does pitching a tent really mean? What does pitching a tent really mean? Let me give you examples of the real life you live. I'm talking to a business person who started a business. That business is still small.
Business e chali ntono.
You're selling tomatoes.
Tunda nyanya.
You're selling little clothes.
Otunda ngoye ntono tono.
You're selling sugar, a small shop.
Otunda sukari.
Whatever it is.
Katono tono chinye chichiri.
Pitching a tent
wema
is doing that little business,
kwe kukola business e yentono,
with the understanding
ngo ino kutegera
of what that business must become.
O business e yegina kufuka chi.
So, in your little shop,
kati muduka alietono,
you apply yourself to the principles
wete kano tambia mununo
of a person who has a branch in every district of Uganda.
Eyomo tu aina etabi mbu
I'm going to say it again.
Nina kuchidamu.
Pitching a tent
okusimba wema
in the business mind
munduoze ya business
means
chitegeze
to apply yourself
okubango ukola
to the principles
enono
of work
enono ize ezo kukola emirimu
according to where you believe God to be. You don't do principles according to where you are. You do principles according to where you want to be. I'm talking to a career person. You have a job. You work in a hospital. Wherever you work, that you go to that job understanding that yes, you might still be getting 300,000 shillings, but apply yourself to the principles of a person being paid 5 million shillings a month. That in the Bible is called pitching a tent. So when Abraham pitched his tent, it means he started applying himself to the process of every word that God had spoken. So where God had told Abraham that I have made thee a father of nations, that man had no children. Did you know? Abraham had no children. But God spoke, and that is all that mattered. So Abraham started applying himself to those principles. And that is what they call pitching a tent. That is what is called pitching a tent. I'm talking to a person who's believing God for marriage. Stop behaving like a single person. That is being carnal. Behave like a person that is already married. That is called pitching a tent. That is what I want to introduce you today as the life of a tent in a process, that when God gives you a word, you must understand what to do with that word. You don't sit back and cross your legs. You don't sit back and cross your legs. I know there are many people here that hands have been laid on your head and words were spoken. There's a woman here. You were told that you are a great prophet of the Lord. A great prophet of the Lord. They told you are a worshiper of the Lord. And they told you that as you worship, healing will manifest. They told you that as you do
business,
money will look for you. That was the word coming to you. You must pitch a tent. How do you pitch a tent in this case? Start to live the life of that word that came to you. Understand it and apply yourself to the principles connected to that word. Hebrews 11 verse 9. The Bible talks about how Abraham and his sons Isaac and Jacob lived a life of tents. Can you give me Amplified, please? Yes. The Bible says, prompted by faith, he dwelt as a temporary resident. Who?
Ani.
Abraham. That he dwelt as a temporary resident in the land which was designated in the promise of God, though he was like a stranger in a strange country, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs with him in the promise. Children of God, I want to tell you today, understand to live a life of the tent. Understand it. Understand it. Stop building permanent residences where you must pitch a tent. Your life here is a life of a tent. So understand that everything you do has a time frame. Like any tent that is put up anywhere. Like the one we had there. There came a time where we couldn't be in it anymore. Because its time was done. Live life like that, my dear friends. That everything you touch has a time frame. And you must be first to understand that it is, first of all, temporary. And therefore apply yourself to the process to move fast and fulfill the call of God upon your life. Pitching a tent. Pitching a tent. Let me read you one last scripture. Maybe the second last. Praise the Lord. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 7. The Bible shows us something very important. Bible
inachetulagao.
Shali kalabato kustafes.
Ribosalamakati.
Zile katayaradi. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, Zechariah 12:7, the Bible says, the Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first. That the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem should not magnify themselves against Judah. Have you seen that thing? That the Lord shall save and give victory to the tents of Judah first. Let me explain to you what the scripture means. There is a salvation that comes to people in tents. Let me say that again. There is a salvation that comes to you in your tent. There are things you will never see unless you understand this principle. How do you do things with the understanding as though they are already finished? Living from the end. Salvation comes to you. Because he says there that there's a glory of the house of David. So the house of David had a glory. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem also had a glory. But the Bible says, when salvation comes, it comes to those in a tent. Okay, let me bring it down. Like I said earlier, you have a small business. It's not yet giving you a lot of money. And you are praying. You believe that God gave you that business. But this principle is teaching you that begin to apply yourself to the principles of a person who has a big business. Oh, you don't know some of those principles. You wake up early. There are things you can't do if you own a big business. There are things you must know. There's the time you have to go to bed. There's the time you have to wake up. Remember Ecclesiastes 3:1? There's the time for everything. So you can't be sleeping in a time of waking up. You can't be waking up in the time of sleeping. You live a very principled life. That is called the life of the tent. And now in Zechariah, he says, after you have understood that and you apply yourself to those principles, you start to live as though everything has been done.
otandika okutambuza obulamu nga bulinga buli kimu kyaggwa.
The Bible says salvation comes to you first.
Bible yagamba nti obulokozi bujja gy'oli.
Salvation does not go only to people with businesses.
No,
it goes to people who have businesses in a tent.
Bugende eri abantu abalina business nenga bali muweema.
Salvation does not only go to people who have jobs and they want those jobs to increase. No, it comes to a person who is doing a job, who's doing a certain work in a tent. Praise the Lord Jesus. In a what? In a tent. You live by faith. You live from the end. You know that God is interested in everything you do. So you apply yourself to the principles of something that is already done. You go to bed early. You wake up early. You do all the principles of a person who knows that God has already blessed them. That does not stop you from praying. But as you pray, because you're already living that life, your prayer is thanksgiving. You give thanks. You give thanks. Because when salvation comes, it comes to people in a tent. Now, let me take you to a scripture that you know. Isaiah 54, verse 2. Those of you that have been part of this church, you know that people that have been part of this church, you know that scripture very well. When we say salvation comes to people in a tent, we are talking about the spirit of increase and multiplication. Isaiah 54, yes, verse 2. We are talking about a certain expansion. We are in the year of what? Profit. We are talking about a certain profit that can only come if you have understood a certain principle. He says, enlarge the place of your tent. Enlarge the place of your tent. He says, and let them stretch forth the curtains. Can you give me amplified? Is it better? Yes. He says, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. And he says, spare not, but lengthen your cords and strengthen your sticks. That is what I was talking about. That there is a certain expansion that God is not going to give to a person who was already in a permanent building. Because you cannot stretch a building. You stretch a tent. It is a tent that you can expand. And some of you have been believing God for expansion. But you live in buildings. Stay spiritual. I'm not talking about physical things now. I'm talking about spiritual things. Someone might jump out of here and say, "Guy, you are to gambio kuzimba te kugasa." You're joking. We are going to build things here. But the Bible says, stretch. It's in that place. You've heard Pastor Weber speak here where he said that this is a tent. Who has ever heard that statement? That this is a tent. That is faith. Because there's a person who only thinks that a tent is the literal thing.
There is somebody who thinks a tent is just the plastic.
This is also a tent. So he's saying, as long as you know it is a tent, then you can expand it. As long as you know it is a tent, increase can come. As long as you know it's a tent, salvation belongs to you. As long as you know it is a tent, profit must come. Profit must come. Profit must come. It must come. It's just a matter of when. It is coming.
Gotcha.
Message version says it. Clear lots of ground for your tents and make your tents large. He says spread them out. Think big. Have you seen how to make it? Have you seen how to pitch a tent? He says what? Think big.
That is called pitching a tent.
Echo bachita kusimba wema.
He says, use plenty of rope and drive the tent pegs deep. Get off the surface. It means if your prayer life is still where it was when the year began, you are living in a building, you are not in a tent. Because your prayer life must be expanded. Your life of prayer must enlarge. If you are living the life of a tent, your marriage must become better. Your business must increase. If it's a tent, if it's not a tent, it may be just maybe you built. You arrived. Like the word says these days. You are suffering from arrivism. Oh, there are Christians who arrived. Have you met Christians who arrived? They got it. You are talking about prayer? They say, Fetu sabye.
We have prayed.
Fetu asaba.
We prayed.
They live in glories that already faded. Akunyumiza ebiti bwabye miaka emyaka gyekinana.
They tell you about the glory in the 80s.
Femu mwaka gwekyenda twasaba.
In the 90s we prayed.
Mumuchaya ko muliro mujja kugwamu.
You're still burning.
You see the reason lwachi bagwamu.
Insonga lwachi the things fade.
Their life of prayer was put in a building. It was when they received a revelation, they didn't pitch a tent. They built with brick and mortar. He says, make your tents large. If your business is struggling, understand what this message is about. Pitch a tent. When you go back to pray today, tell God that I had given up, but now I have understood that this business is a tent. If it is a tent, I can stretch it. You know, some of you are struggling with things where all you have to do is go and remove a peg where you had put it and drive it another place. And that's it. Some of you are struggling with habits.
There is a habit that is persistent in your life. And you know it's not godly.
Na ye, you have entered a life where you believe that this is you. A thorn in the flesh, yes. There's some people who quote that scripture. They say even Paul had a thorn in the flesh.
Now this is my thorn as well.
Listen, Paul was a foundation builder for the gospel. You have not been called to build a foundation. The foundation was laid for you. You are building upon. Which means you must be increasing in revelation. Why do you have a thorn in the flesh? Maybe, just maybe, all you need to do is stretch your tent. If you've been praying for 1 hour, stretch your tent. If you've been operating a small business, start to think about ways of stretching your tent. If you have been struggling in your marriage, begin to stretch your tent. Again, in understanding of the principles of stretching a tent, that it is about living the life that you want to become. Have I said it well? Did you understand it? You live the life that you want to become. If you want to be the greatest business person this world has ever seen, begin now. If you want to, what? If you want to get married, begin now. If you want to
buy the nicest car, better than Frank's car, begin now. It is possible. You just need to stretch your tent. Because you must understand that everything God has given you has been put in a tent. Salvation comes to people in a tent. If you want to become a better minister, begin in your generation meeting. You have 5 people to take care of as a generation leader. What do you see? What do you see? You want to own a big business where you pay 40,000 people. Can you imagine? There's a person on earth nga bwaba tavudde mu buliri bwe kumacha.
If they not wake up in the morning,
40,000 people tebagenda funa musala.
Abantu emitwalo ena will not be paid.
Kitegeeza ewaka bajja kubeera njala.
That means that their home they don't have food.
Amakaga abantu mitwalo ena.
The homes of 40,000
bagenda kaba enjala kuba omusajja omute yategedde kikyakola.
They will be hungry because one man didn't understand what to do.
Let me bring it to you. Every person seated in this place, you've been anointed to change this world. Every time you're still sleeping and wasting time, there are people's destinies perishing. The nations are waiting for you. Wake up and stretch your tent. Get out of your sleep. Stop wasting time. You waste a lot of time. That is your problem. You have used your name in vain things. You walk with the wrong people. Even when you know that these people are wrong, you still walk with them because you fear to be called Wamalala.
To say that you're proud.
Stretch your tent. Stretch your tent. There's a person here. Before you get up out of that sleep, where you're just waiting for things to happen to you. You don't pray, you don't fast, you don't read the word, you don't do anything. You have never started a business. Your excuse is
you have an excuse.
Nakatanika business emirundi etano.
I started 5 businesses.
Zona zifude.
They all perished.
Mthumba.
Pastor.
Bibi.
Things are bad.
You are in a building. Get out of that building now and enter a tent. Because it's only a tent you can expand. I'm speaking to people of faith. You can expand your tent. It is possible. That business you want to increase, you can get it. That deal you are looking for is possible. Expand your tent. You've been talking to 2 people. Increase and talk to 10. You have been walking with the wrong people. Cut them off and walk with 1 right person. That is called expanding your tent. Praise the Lord Jesus. Please get to your feet. Yeah, I didn't come expecting a lot of amens. So don't worry, I'm not offended. I knew. That by the time I'm done, you will have entered a tent. Praise the Lord. Now, next time, and I want to give this to you early, so that you come knowing, I want us to talk about the characters of people that have built. Yeah, who live in buildings, permanent buildings. There are some characters from the Bible. And I'm going to show all those to you. To help you understand whether you are in a building or you are in a tent. It is important because if you don't know how to get out of a building and enter a tent, Zechariah 12:7 says salvation does not come to you first. So it means yes, you are praying, but you arrived.
Which means there are answers you will never see. Or if you see them, they're going to come to you very late. And yet we talked about redeeming time. The days are evil. The days are evil. The days are evil. Every day men of the world are coming up with different ways of becoming more evil. It comes through technology, it comes through education. It has entered marriages. It has entered relationships. It has entered every corner of this world. What will the righteous do? The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? We don't have a keyboardist today. Okay. Please do whatever you want. Stretch your hands out or touch your chest or touch your belly and begin to speak to the Lord. I don't know how you're feeling. And I don't know how you received this word. But the Lord requires you to expand your tent. The Lord requires you to expand your tent. The Lord requires you to expand your tent. That also is a process. It's a life of the process. There are things you won't touch unless you understand how to live a life of the tent. Yes, you have been struggling at your workplace. Yes, your boss has been mistreating you. And it's wrong, he shouldn't do that. But maybe, just maybe, also you, there is something you don't know. There is a life you haven't started living. That life of a tent will save you from many things. You will understand that even this earth is a tent. It will fade one day. So you can stretch your faith and begin to live life different. Start to treat your bosses different. Treat your neighbors different. Some of you despise people because you arrived. Some of you are proud because you live in a permanent building. Some of you don't know and you walk in ignorance. And you don't care about growing in knowledge because you live in a permanent building. The word of the Lord comes to you this morning, afternoon, to get out of that building and go back to a tent. Being in a tent is a life of humility. Being in a tent is a life of obedience. Being in a tent is a life of sacrifice. The Bible says that the a broken heart and a contrite one, the Lord shall not despise. You need to break before the Lord and ask Him to help you. Yes, you've been trying to increase. You've been trying to profit, but maybe, just maybe, you are in a building and you're not in a tent. The Bible, the Lord says to you this afternoon, enter a tent. Pitch a tent. Pitch a tent. Pitch a tent in your prayer life. Pitch a tent in your ministry. Pitch a tent at your workplace. Pitch a tent in your marriage. Pitch a tent and it will change your life for good. Matela so Greek apala de kashia. Zeile barade kozda vile sheteli barada kaya. Lord, we thank you for the word that you have brought to us today. We thank you for the great word that you brought us today. Lord, we ask for the wisdom to get out of permanent buildings and enter tents where only you promise to expand us. That is only where you say salvation will come to us first. That is only where you say you will make us the first and not the last. If we understand how to live in a tent, we ask for wisdom
to apply this in our daily lives. Some people here, Lord, are tired. Some people here are tired. They are tired of certain lives. They are tired of poverty. They are tired of suffering. They are tired of struggling and striving. And things have been tough. But I thank you for the wisdom you've brought to them to enter the life of a tent. That only then shall they understand how to expand and stretch to the glory of your name. Lord, we thank you for the increase of our finances. We thank you for the increase in influence. This world shall become too small for us because we are going to fill all of it. We are going to expand. We are going to eat up the whole space because we have understood how to live a life of a tent to the glory of the Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Give a mighty hand clap to the Lord. Glory, glory to God. I want to remind you, we are here tomorrow on Monday, every Monday at 6. We are here in prayer. You need to pray. Your prayer life must be expanded. Your prayer tent must be expanded. The things that have been failing you must expand. If as you receive the knowledge of God in prayer, you must expand that those things will come to an end. To the glory of God. And we'll be here on Wednesday. Is that Saturday? Not this Saturday, right? 26th. It's 26th. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So, and we'll be here back. Please attend your generations. Please attend your generation meetings. And be sure to do something great there. Because you're a great person. How many believe that you're great? You have to see it. You have to see it. Praise the Lord Jesus. And we'll be back here on Sunday for a powerful service that you have never seen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Please get your feet. Turn to your neighbor. Remind them. They already know. Just remind them that Jesus is the Lord of your life and nothing is missing, nothing broken. Have a wonderful week full of produce and fruits. Because the Lord is with you. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you.